What's up? This is welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I'm your man, L Wonder, and I'm just saying, first off, thank you for coming again, joining the show. I do have another exciting episode for you today. You know, we have been kicking hard into this We Be Like series, our Black History series. We've talked about Dream Like Martin. We talked about leading like Harriet. We talked about fighting like Malcolm, thinking like Garvey, writing like Maya, and building like my Madam CJ. This week we're gonna continue on, and today we're gonna talk about speaking like Frederick. And oh my goodness, if you know anything about the history and the power behind Frederick Douglass, he was born a slave, he was freed. And he held some of the highest political offices that at the time any African-American would have ever held. But we're going to talk about him in perspective. And like I said, it's not your typical history lesson. We're not going to talk about, I'm trying to break away from the grain of just giving the typical history lesson, because if that's what you want, you have so many YouTube videos to cover that. You got so many websites that you can pull from that. But what we're going to do, we're going to focus on the speaking, the interpretation, the dialogue, the words that he used, the way that he spoke, the posture he had to bring in order to be listened to, in order to be heard, in order to give a voice, and why he did what he did, the voice that he has, the weight that he carried, and why he carried that weight, and how it impacted us today. So look, we're about to enjoy this. We're about to unpack some stuff. We're about to look into some stuff as we continue on with this 20th episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And we're going to continue on with our We Be Like series as we jump into part 7. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. Part 7 of We Be Like, as we explore speaking like Frederick. So go ahead, sit back, relax, enjoy, kick your feet up if you're driving, stay focused. But we just want, I really hope you just pay attention, grab some stuff out of here. And once again, thank you for joining us again in this We Be Like series of, in this We Be Like episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder, as we discussing speak like Frederick. Hey, what's up? Now, you just heard the intro and you see what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about speaking like Frederick. And I'm excited for this one, as I always try to tell you. And I'm really about to push it on this one, because I really have to just shift or adjust or change the format of how I'm functioning with this, because I do not want this to be a typical history lesson. Welcome again. This is the 20th episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. Actually, the 20th episode that I'm posting. We had a couple extra ones at the beginning, but those are just trial and errors. But this is the 20th episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And we are continuing on our We Be Like series, our Black History series, our Black History series. And we are gonna continue this one with part 7, which, as you see on my, if you're looking at this on Facebook, then you can see my shirt, Speak Like Frederick. Please make sure you hit up my girl Kim at Where Did It Go? That's W-E-A-R, Did It Go Fashion, on Facebook and IG. Make sure you hit her up at Where Did It Go Fashion on Facebook and IG. She personalized all of the shirts that you see. She's been spinning it up for me. She's been giving me a couple different flavors, different settings and stuff like that. So yeah, make sure you hit up my girl Kim at Where Did It Go Fashion. Now, we go jump into this. Like I said, I do not want to make this the typical or the traditional history lesson, because that's not what we're going for here. I want to speak to people about these specific topics and see. And first off, yes, I want to acknowledge what our African-American what people have played a role, how people played a specific part in what we in America, but just our culture and who we are and how we stand and how we function. But I also want to encourage you, if you have a goal, if you have an idea, you, as you see, we started this podcast. So, you know, I feel like I do got something to say. And many other people might feel that way. So in talking about Frederick Douglass and how he spoke and why he spoke and how he stood up and said the things that nobody really wanted to hear, but also said the things that nobody felt like they could say. It's going to help encourage. It's going to help push. It's going to help bring some light. Now, I always try to give a brief synopsis of the person that we're talking about. And in order to do that, let's see. I'm going to give you a real brief synopsis on who Frederick Douglass is. Okay, Frederick Douglass was born Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey, born February. They're not sure what day in February. He was just born sometime in February of 1818 in Tuckahoe, Maryland. And he died February 20th, 1895. Okay, in Washington, D.C. So he was African American, who was one of the most eminent human rights leaders in the 19th century. His oratorical and literacy brilliance thrust him into the forefront of the U.S. abolitionist movement. So the dude had words for you. He can spit game. He had words for you. Not just spit game, but he can verbalize. He can oralize. He can speak to you in a sense to encourage, to empower, to lift up. He can take whatever you say, whatever you're feeling, and put it into words to magnificently paint a picture of what it is that he's trying, the point that he's trying to get across. Okay, so this dude was great with words, to the point where he became the first Black citizen to hold high rank in the U.S. government. So because of he was so intelligent, he was so intellectual with his words, with his speaking, with his idea, the thoughts and ideas, in verbalizing his ideas, that he became one of the first Blacks to hold some real, real high ranking positions in the government. Douglass was born 1818. Though the month and day are uncertain, they believe that it might be in February. Reason being is, okay. He said he later opted to celebrate his birthday on February 14th. Separated as an infant from his slave mother. So that's the first thing that we got to understand. He was born into slave. He was born as a slave, but he was separated from a slave mother. He never knew who his white father. So Frederick lived with his grandmother on a Maryland plantation until he was 8 years old, when his owner sent him to Baltimore to live as a house servant with the family of Hugh Auld, whose wife defied state law by teaching a boy to read. So that right there, it says a lot. You know, Frederick Douglass, his mom got pregnant by a white man, and you know, because of his, we know how back then how certain slaves got treated differently based off the how dark or how light they were or whatnot. But his owner, they basically taught him how to read and write. She defied the laws that was illegal back then, so she still taught him how to read and write and everything like that. So let's see. Frederick tried to escape. Okay, let's see. Frederick was forced to continue his education with aides of schoolboys in the streets. Upon the death of his master, he returned to the plantation. And let's see. Okay, later he was hired out in Baltimore as a ship caulker. Okay. Frederick tried to escape with three others in 1833, but the plot was discovered before they could get away. 5 years later, however, he fled to New York and then to New Bedford, Massachusetts, where he worked as a laborer for 3 years, eluding slave hunters by changing his surname to Douglass. So he was born a slave. He escaped slavery and he changed his name to Douglass. That's why And once again, this is another situation, and we've been seeing these situations in the last, I don't know how many episodes that we've been seeing how changing, how people change their name, people shifted their name, people changed what they were being recognized as. And it's, so I go back to that on a regular basis. Please do not allow anybody to call you just any and everything. Please identify, this comes, I think, I will not think, I'm seeing this pattern that when people begin to really step into who they are to be, when people really find their identity within themselves, when people really get a chance to understand who they are, that's when the name change comes upon. Because you become secure in where you're at. You don't allow anybody to tell you where you should be at. You don't allow anybody to tell you what they think of you, but you are able to be yourself, completely be yourself. So when he was able to, when he went through these things, when he escaped, when he, because at first he had a failed attempt, but when he was able to flee slavery, he changed his name to Douglas. That's where he came with, up with Frederick Douglass instead of Frederick Bailey. Because just to elude slavery hunters. In saying that, now we're about to get into, I just wanted to give a little bit of history lesson. I mean, a little bit of background. So Douglas had a lot of stuff going on. He went and he, Douglas says, yeah, he had a lot going on. So look, this is how Douglas' story began. Well, after he got free. So Frederick Douglass was asked to express his encounters, his feelings, and his experiences as a slave and what he'd been through at an anti-slavery convention in 1841. And let me just say, he killed it. Like in a positive way, in the best way possible, Frederick Douglass was asked, hey, dude, could you just speak up and tell us about your experience? Tell us what you've been through. Tell us some of the things that you experienced, some of the things that you felt, some of the things that you are feeling, some of the things that how did slavery make you feel? We need you to share with us at an anti-slavery convention because, okay, the whole point was to encourage people who didn't know about slavery to support that slavery was a bad thing. And the only way that they can do it is by having people who have been, well, the best way that they can do it, not only way, but the one of the best ways that they felt they could do it is by having somebody who used to be slaves speak to people and express how they felt and what they've been through. Okay. So that's what they did. They invited him to speak and oh my goodness, he blew it out the water. He said the remarks were so poignant and so eloquent that he was unexpectedly catapulted into a new career as an agent for the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society. So because of how he spoke, because of the power behind his words and how he spoke so eloquently, so perfect, it just painted the picture so perfectly. And that's the thing about your words. Please understand this, that your words have the ability to paint a picture. So when we talk about writing like Maya, when we're talking about speaking like Frederick, your words have the ability to paint the picture that people want, that the people cannot see for themselves. So when you have a chance to speak to anybody, whether it's a one-on-one conversation, whether it's in a group setting, whether it's if you're standing in front of a huge audience, if you had a chance to speak to somebody or even over the phone, make sure that you understand the power behind your words, power behind a conversation, power behind what you're talking about, because your words have the ability to shift and change some things. Just like it says biblically, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Yes, your words have the ability to give life, to encourage, to pump up, but it also has the ability to destroy, to kill, to slander, to hurt. So make sure you be careful with the with your words, because your words got an impact. Okay, that's why we talk, and I'm telling you, we go talk about this speaking like Frederick today. So it is so dope how that one instance, and remember, like I said, it started from him being a slave, and one of the masters, she basically taught him. And now this is the thing about it. Don't you realize that it's not always, see, God can structure, ordain certain things. Just because you're in a bad situation, God can use people in that situation. He have you there for a reason. This is why my favorite verse, I always say this, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But Frederick Douglass was a slave, but then when he was in a house, he was taught how to read and write. He was taught how to do these things. So who would have thought once he became free that it would have made an impact by somebody just saying, hey, look, why don't you tell us about what you've been through, what you was going through? And because of that, it catapulted him into a whole new career. It shifted his life into a whole different place just because he told somebody about his story. You got a story in you that you got to tell somebody, and you have no idea how when you speak that thing to somebody, how it can shift your whole life. So please understand that, first off. I really want you to understand that these messages are inspiring to me, but it's here to inspire other people. I hope you understand that there is something that you need to, there's some things that you had to go through that you didn't like to go through, but when you tell, but you got a story. You got a story, and what the thing about it is, when you have a story or when you have a word, when you got a testimony within yourself, what you have to say is going to impact and encourage and build up and push and promote some other people. So don't hold your story in. Many times that's what we tend to do. We tend to hold it in, but we got to let that thing free. We got to let that thing go. We are overcome. Others are overcome. Other people are dependent on you. They're depending on you to say what you got to say, because if you don't say what you got to say, it could be just that. That's just that push for somebody else to get them to their destiny. So if you don't do your part and talk to the people that you need to, or speak, or minister, or whatever, then you could be hindering somebody else. So it's very important, very valuable for us to get out here and do what's on our heart to do. Okay. So let's continue on. Now peep this. Frederick Douglass, his words were so eloquent, so amazing, so flawless. And he talked about all the stuff that he'd been through, that he started being mocked. He started being heckled. He started being insulted. Violent personal attacks. They started looking at him like, man, this dude can't be real. Like, they just got somebody up here. This dude can't be no slave. How's he a slave and he talking like this? Just because I don't look like what I've been through, do not ever discount or discredit what I'm telling, what I've been through. Don't let nobody discredit what you've been through. You've been through some things in life, and that made you who you are, where you at. I don't look like I've been through everything. I don't look like what I've been through. And trust me, that's the beauty of it. You know, when you don't look like you've been through everything that you've been through, that right there shows you the hand of God on your life. Because most people are, I'm telling you, I'm looking at some people and they wear what they've been through. They wear what they've dealt with. You can't tell everything that I've been through just from looking at me, because I don't wear what I've been through. My experiences have taught me, my experience have brought me, my experiences have encouraged me or motivated me or pushed me to the places that I am at and the place that I'm going, but my experiences is not who I am. I hope you understand that. Sometimes your experiences can you wear your experiences. You look like what you've been through. Do not allow your experiences to define you, but allow your experiences to push you to where you need to be. but not define you. It's very important because when your experiences define you, then you're only known off of what you've been through, not where you're going, not where you're at or not where you're going. You want to be where you're at and you want to be headed in a direction of where you're going. And you cannot allow your experiences, your past, your history to stop you or prevent you or entangle you to go forward from going forward. Yeah, you got to use it for your benefit, but you can't allow it to destroy you. So Frederick Douglass I say that to say this, people did not recognize Frederick Douglass and by his speech that he was a slave, that he was a former slave. So what they start doing, they started, because they didn't see it on him, they started, man, whatever. You ain't never been a slave. They start talking about him to the point where they start talking, man, look, you fake. I know what slavery been. I mean, you sound good, but the fact that you sound that good, you couldn't have been through this stuff for real. To the point where Frederick Douglass had to write in 1845, he wrote his autobiography. Then he revised it and completed it in 1882 because his story was not done when he first wrote it. So now peep that. That's a really compelling portion right there. He wrote his autobiography in 1845. But in 1845, that was not the end of his story. So he had to revise it and complete it in 1882. Your story, just because you're telling people your story today does not mean your story is over. Let me tell you something. I am hyped. I'm excited. I'm so super excited to be celebrating my 40th birthday this year. Yes, I don't know. Look, I don't believe I look 40, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. But I'm excited to be celebrating my 40th birthday this year. Let me tell you something. What I'm now at 40, I got a hell of a story to tell you. I got some stuff to tell you. I've been through a lot so far. And guess what? I know I wear it real well. But let me tell you something. Right now, the things that I'm able to do right now at 40, trust me, I'm still riding. I'm still running. I'm still on my path. And so that means by the time I turn 50, I'm going to have a whole nother bunch of stories to tell you. By the time I turn 60, I'm going to be able to audit that, revise my story. And when I turn 70, it's going to be the same way. I'm telling you, do not think just because you got a story to tell today, that's why you cannot allow your past to dictate who you are, because your past is only supposed to have motivated you and pushed you to get to a certain point, and then you continue on. And see, Frederick Douglass understood that theory. In 1945, he'd been through a lot, he's seen a lot, he's experienced a lot, so he was able to tell his story. But guess what? In 1945, that wasn't the end of the story, because in 18, I keep saying 19, I really apologize, not 19, 18. In 1845, he wrote his autobiography, but guess what? In 1882, he had to revise it. So almost 40 years later, of course, if you've been through certain things within the first half of your life, of course the second half of your life is gonna bring some other stuff. There's people who talked about who's able to talk about the inventions of cars, how they seen airplanes, how they seen this, how they seen that. But guess what? In the 90s, there was a time where the internet started being popular, and it didn't stop there. Now we got phones. We walk around with computers in our hand. So there's always going to be shifts. There's always going to be transitions. There's always going to be something different, transitional in the world. So we have to be able to open our hearts, open our heads, open our minds, open our ideas, our thoughts, so that we can stay relevant in this change of time. Okay. I remember a conversation that I had last week with my cousin, and we was talking about my uncle had made a post, and we was talking about the difference, it opened up a conversation, which I told you I really want to do a podcast sooner or later on generational gaps, because generational gaps, it's a huge problem between the older, there's a huge disconnect between the older generation and the younger generation. And I feel like me at the age, at the place that I am, I'm right in the middle able to see the benefits of both sides. Now, yes, there's challenges of both sides as well. But I really believe that if what we need to do, and I hope, I really encourage you, if you're younger, please go out and find yourself a mentor. Please go out and find yourself somebody who can talk to you, somebody who can help you, somebody who can pour into you, somebody who can speak life into you. It is very important that we have these people around us who can teach us some of the things that they've been through, some of the experiences that they had. Not saying that you got to listen to every single thing they say, but just like I talked about before, eat the meat and throw away the bones. It's also good as we get older that we find younger people and we talk to younger people and we pass on our wealth, we pass on our knowledge, we pass on our experiences to other people that can to help them as they continue on, as they continue on their journey. So we have to be able to communicate with each other, but that's the good thing. So I'm really excited about this 40th birthday that I'm about to step into, because guess what? My 30s was amazing. Now some of y'all know who I am. Some of y'all know some of the things about me. So you know, like, you'll be like, "Ew, but you did this. This is what happened. What happened? What about that? Like, you lost a whole spouse in your 30s. That's true. I lost a sister in my, my sister passed right before my 30th. But I lost a brother in my 30s. I lost family members, all types of family members in my 30s. So it's like, Lamar, how can you say your 30s has been amazing? Because my 30s transitioned my mind. My 30s, in my 30s, there was a transition. There was a shift in my thinking. In my 30s, there was a shift in the way that I looked at things, that I processed things. And in my 30s, I was able to understand a little bit better than I did in my 20s about the foundation of focusing, about the significance in focusing. We talked about that before. My uncle always said this. He said, he like, rule number one. And if anybody know my own Jordan, if anybody know my uncle, you know what rule number one is. Rule number one, and he always say that, and he say this, he's been saying this for years. Rule number one, stay focused. As simple as that statement is, that is a very huge statement to say, because it's so easy to get distracted off things. It's so easy to get thrown off topics, but you got to stay focused. And then in saying that, we will get back focused on what we're talking about with Frederick Douglass, because there's so much to unpack in this. And so we talk about Frederick Douglass. I really did not want this to be just a history lesson, but there's so many things in Frederick Douglass' life. But I got to get to these other points. So Frederick Douglass ended up, basically, Frederick Douglass got pushed so high that he was an advisor to President Abraham Lincoln, and he advocated for former slaves. He advocated that former slaves be armed for the North and that the war be made a direct confrontation against slavery. Throughout Reconstruction, he fought for full civil rights, for freedom, for freedmen, and vigorously supported the women's right movement, So Frederick Douglass took this on. And he was the one who gave, he had specific people's ear. He had those in power. He had the ear of those in power. Let me explain something to you. It is nothing like having the attention of the people who make decisions. That right there is a blessing within itself. When you have the attention of people who make decisions, of people in power, of influential people, when that alone right there says a lot, does a lot, opens the door for a lot. Because if you have the attention of, you can change a lot. So what he did, I'm gonna get into some of the things that he did, because this right there, he had the attention, like I said, he had the attention of he was the first African American in such high places, such high offices, government offices. But this dude wrote a lot of stuff. And this is the thing that he did. Let me tell you something. What he did, he understood what he had a goal, he had a plan. He had a concept, he had an idea. His idea was, you know what, let's push to have African Americans, to give African, to give all men. Look, y'all talk about this freedom stuff. Look, let's give all men the same equality. Let's give all of us the same equality. So yes, so Frederick Douglass had a lot of pull and power, and what he did, because he was so articulate, they asked him to do different things as far as speeches. And let me tell you, one of the most influential speeches that he had, I just looked at this. One of the most influential speeches that he had. Yes. One of the most influential, one of the most influential pieces of work he wrote. He was asked to give a speech on at the 4th of July celebration. So he wrote, what to the slave is the 4th of July? What to the slave is the 4th of July? And this was no joke. Let me explain something to you. So he was tasked to give a speech to about celebrating the 4th of July. They went to the black man, the representative, one of the people who was a freed slave now, and said, and you word things so eloquent. Can you help push the narrative and help us when, as we celebrate the 4th of July? So let's paint this picture for a minute. He was a freed slave. He knew that there was, that slavery was still going on. He encouraged and he helped and incited people, not incite, maybe that's the wrong word, but he gave insight. He did. He gave insight to people of power so that they can join in fighting this thing known as slavery. They seen him and said, let's utilize your platform so we can get people aboard. When we speak like Frederick, we got to be aware of a couple of different things. You got to be aware, first off, of your audience and what the anticipation and expectations is of your audience. You also have to deal with, because I'm pretty sure he was dealing with the conscience of knowing that there were people, that there were blacks watching to see what he was going to do. You want to celebrate a 4th of July, a freedom, an Independence Day for the country. But look at how the country is treating your kind. So he had to be so strategic in how he spoke, because he had people's attention. He had the white man's attention, because they said, okay, look, he's eloquent in what he said, his delivery. You know, we need him. He's very good at what he's saying. We need somebody like him to be able to speak and help us celebrate and push the positive narrative, because right now we can't afford all of this negativity on our country. And man, if anybody could have ever delivered, if anybody would have ever delivered, if anybody could have ever spoken and balanced it out so beautiful. Like I said, the way that Frederick Douglass spoke in reference to this. First thing he did was address everybody. Mr. President, friends, and fellow citizens. He addressed everybody. He needed to address the audience without quelling sensation. He had to address the audience to make sure that they knew he was focused on them. So I'm gonna read you an excerpt from this just to give you an idea of what he said. He said, the papers and placards say that I am to deliver a 4th of July oration. This certainly sounds large and out of the common way, for it is true that I have often had the privilege to speak in this beautiful hall and to address many who now honor me in their presence, but neither their families' faces nor the perfect gauge I think I have of Corinthians Hall seems to free me from embarrassment. The fact is, now peep this, that already right there, that set a stage. He like, yes, I've done this before. I've been in y'all presence before. I know what my purpose here, but you know, it's something that's plaguing me. It's something that needs to be addressed. I think it's very crazy that you want me to speak on independence of Fourth of July celebration, but there's something that I got that's gonna be embarrassing to me. There's something that bothers me. I love how he played this out. I'm about to continue on. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the distance between this platform and the slave plantation from which I escaped is considerable, and the difficulties to be overcome in getting from the latter to the former are by no means slight. So he had a purpose in going into this. He was told that he was asked to speak on 4th of July to help celebrate, but he was a former slave. So you want me to speak on the independence of America, but you don't understand or recognize or see what us as Black people are still going through. Now, yes, Frederick Douglass ran, he got out, and he changed his name to Frederick Douglass. He changed his last name to Douglass so that they won't catch him. So you want me to speak because we so cool, because now I can deliver these messages because I'm cool with the president. You want me to now just pretend like all of that stuff never happened. He said that I am here today is me, a matter of astonishment as well as of gratitude. He said, look, I ain't even supposed to be here. So the fact that I'm here, we should be amazed. So he's letting them know, he's saying certain things, showing them the foundation of what he's about to say. He's setting the foundation. He's trying to get a group of intelligent whites to understand the pain and the toil of slavery. So when we're talking about speaking like Frederick, we're talking about you being able to take the words, painting a picture for people who can't understand or even have the ability to understand what you've been through because they never been through what you've been through. It's like trying to teach somebody who's very, very privileged about what it's like not to have lights. It's like trying to teach somebody who has everything at the drop of a dime, or it's like trying to teach somebody who's with perfect health what it's like to live missing a limb, or mentally to say, or trying to teach a male the foundations of having a baby. That's the task that Frederick Douglass was given. And this dude killed it. I invent no elaborate preparation, nor grace my speech with any high sounding exordium. With little experience and with less learning, I have been able to throw my thoughts hastily and imperfectly together, and thrusting to your patient and generous indulgence, I will proclaim to lay them before you. So he's telling you right up, I ain't got no game here. I don't have no formula. I didn't try to put this in the perfect way, but I'm just going to give you what I need to give you. I'm just going to give you the foundation of what it means to be a slave so that you can understand what's going on. He said this, for the purpose of the celebration of the 4th of July. You got me here for the 4th of July celebration. It is the birthday of the nation, of your nation's independence and your political freedom. This to you is what the Passover was to the emancipated people of God. It carries your mind back. So he gave them other, he set a foundation because he said, look, I'm gonna let you know that I understand what you're celebrating. I'm gonna let you know that I understand your perspective, because in order for you to get somebody to understand your perspective, you gotta first make them comfortable enough to listen to you. And it's hard for somebody to listen to you if somebody has their own agenda and yet they don't feel like their agenda is being heard or being paid attention to. So if you want somebody to listen to you, you got to make sure. And it's so funny because I was just watching the episode of Blackish. That's became my new show. But I was just watching the episode of Blackish, and what he wanted while he was trying to push the narrative of getting his colleagues, his co-workers, to understand what Juneteenth was, what he had to do was first start talking to them and listening to them to get them comfortable enough to understand, to get them uncomfortable enough so that he can explain how he felt to them. And that's what he did. He first broke it down and explained it to him. He gave, I can't go through the whole speech, but oh my goodness, he gave some strong foundational points. He laid it out he laid the ground for foundation of him understanding the value of the 4th of July. He said, I repeat, I am glad this is so. There is hope in the thought, and hope is much needed under the dark clouds which lowered above the horizon. The eye of the reformer is met with the anger flashes, portending disastrous times, but his heart may well beat lighter at the thought that America is young and that she is still in the impossible stage of her existence. So he said, look, peep this. So I'm excited about the 4th of July and everything like that. He said, so let me not, before I say this next thing, I recognize that we are still young enough that we can change, that we can still shift, that we can still change, transition what we do and how we do. Right now we in a good place. It ain't over with, but trust me, we got a lot of work to do. And then that's when he dove into it. He kept on going. Well, actually, he gave a little bit more. He said, the simple story of it is that 76 years ago, the people of this country were British subject. The style and title of your sovereign people, in which you now glory, was not then born. You were under the British crown. Your fathers esteemed to English government as the home government, and the English as their fatherland. This government, you know, although a considerable distance from your home, did in exercise. So he broke it down. Basically, he was breaking it down like, you know what you've been through under the English government. And he continued on to say, but your fathers, who had not adopted the fashion idea of this day, of the infallible of governments and the absolute character. So he went on and explained a lot of the stuff that went on. And that's when he started jumping into, he said, feeling themselves harshly unjust. So he started talking about how, as slaves, feeling themselves harshly and unjustly treated by the home government. Your father, like men of honesty and men of spirit, earnestly sought redress. They petitioned and remonstrated. So he talked about how y'all had to fight to become free. The men of this country had to fight to become free from the British who overseen them and who was treating them harshly and everything. He said, oppression makes a man, a wise man, mad. Your fathers were wise men. And if they did not go mad, they believe restive under this treatment. So when we talk about speaking like Frederick, it ain't always about being mad, yelling, screaming, all the other stuff. Speaking like Frederick, meaning that you have to be able to communicate. Now we talk about communication a lot on this podcast. We talk about communication between husband and wives. We talk about communication between parents and children. We talk about communication in so many different levels. And the thing about communication is not just about saying what you need to say, but it's also about being able to receive what other people are saying. Also being able to make sure that you articulate in a sense to where the person is able to receive what you want. You don't just want to keep talking just to keep talking. You eventually, the goal of you talking is so that the person, your audience, receives what's being said. because most of the time after they receive it, then it's the action that needs to follow. So if they're that, if there's no action, that if they're not willing to take the action afterwards, then it's not even, it doesn't, you wasted your time in talking. So he had the first, and I can go through, oh my goodness. This is a nice speech, but this is a nice speech. It ain't no buts about it. But the way he painted this picture, was amazing. It said the present. My business, if I have any here today, is with the present. The accept time with God and his cause is the ever living now. So he goes, because he said, fellow citizens, pardon me. Allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and the national justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? So he said, you talking about the Declaration of Independence, do we have those things? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess that the benefits express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting for your independence to us? So he said, first off, you want me to speak at this Independence Day celebration, but I'm torn because I don't think those same rights that you speak about in the Constitution is extended to us. But such, it is not the state of case. I say it with a sad sense of disparity between us. I'm not included with the pales of this glorious anniversary. He said it straight up. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessing in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance, The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. So he had to break it down, and he had to first let them know, okay, so you know how hard y'all fought to get to come from underneath the British. He said, your independence is not extended to myself or people like me. He said, so I'm sorry, but I can't give you the happy, let's celebrate the 4th of July speech that you want from me, because I don't understand and I don't receive the same freedoms that you receive. See, Mr. Douglas did not attack these people. He did not bash them. He first opened the door to let them know he understands them. And then he laid it out real plain. He gave them something to think about. He gave them something to talk about. And he had the ear of those in power. So as we discuss speaking like Frederick today, and I'm about to close up, but as we discuss speaking like Frederick, then please keep in mind the way that he went about things. Now, he got a whole bunch more speeches. I encourage you all, please do not just let this lesson go by. Do not just let this go by. If you need to go in and listen to, you can easily go on YouTube. You can type in Frederick Douglass, What to the Slave is the 4th of July speech. And if you do it, great James Earl Jones give a great rendition of the speech. He break it down real clean, perfectly. James Earl Jones got that Mufasa voice. He was Mufasa. So he breaks it down so good. I'm telling you. So make sure that you go check that out. Make sure you also go check out more of Frederick Douglass' speeches, because Frederick Douglass have a bunch of speeches. What the Black Man Wants, oh my goodness, that is an amazing speech, because he break down what it means, how, why we feel the way we do, why we act, why, and this is what, so please go listen, go read. Like I said, you don't even have to read as much no more. You can go on YouTube, and I found this one on YouTube about what the black man wants, that as he's, as they're speaking, they also play, play the words across the screen. So you can write down what you, if some, if you need to, you can pause it, you can rewind it, you can write down what you need to take great points. I'm telling you. So when we talk about, cause when we talking about speaking, like I said, the whole point of Frederick Douglass, and I'm gonna close this out with this. The whole point of what Frederick Douglass did, Frederick Douglass was not, he used his words. He knew the power behind his words, first off. And then he used his words to be effective in his mission. Whatever it is, whether you selling something, whether you writing something, whether you building something, whether you drawing something, whether it's a dream, whether you leading, whether you are educating, and that's what we're going to get into next week, educate like W.E.B. But whatever it is, make sure that you are utilizing your tools to justify your purpose. What that means is you got to first establish the purpose. Frederick Douglass' purpose was to start working on getting us as equal. Start getting everybody to look at us, even ourselves, as equal to any other man that walks the planet. Any other man in this country. And he did it by utilizing one of the biggest gifts that he had, one of the biggest things that he learned, even while slavery, he was in slavery. And that lady taught him how to read and write. And then later on, as they said, hey, we want you to speak about your experiences, how he eloquently took the words and painted the picture so that anybody who heard him can see the clarity behind him being a slave. Then with people who challenged him, talking about, you talk too good, you ain't no slave. He was able to write down his story, just like we talked about. And not just write down his story. Remember, we talked about he wrote down his story in 1840s. And then he had to revise it back in the 1880s. Because he wasn't finished with his story. But he also spoke to people, met them where they were at, did not have arguments and so speak down on them. But he accepted where they were at, why they were at, and then explained his position. When we speak, talking about speaking like Frederick, when Frederick spoke, he spoke to get results. When Frederick spoke, he spoke to address a problem. When Frederick spoke, he spoke with purpose. So make sure you're speaking with purpose. Make sure you're speaking with clarity. Make sure you don't come off attacking, because Frederick made sure he didn't come off attacking. Thank you once again for joining Wonder Why with your boy L Wonder. I really look forward to these every week. Oh my goodness, I try to make sure I'm bringing the content for you. Do not hesitate. Go to my website, Wonder Why with L Wonder.wordpress.com. That's my website. It's going to have all of the messages. It's going to have all of my podcasts on there. It's going to have a place for you to comment. It's going to have a place for you to send whatever messages. Look, if you like what you hear, comment on it. If you got to see any suggestions, send a message, anything. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the messages. I'm looking for the comments. I'm looking for all that stuff. Let me know how I'm doing, what you think about what I'm doing, if I need to change something up, if I need to shift it a little bit. If you got some ideas. Now, I got another 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, I only got 4 more weeks of this We Be Like series. 4 more weeks. That's crazy. And I'm be completing this We Be Like series. I only got 4 more episodes. I might do a final episode just to wrap everything up. But I only got 4 more episodes. And I really appreciate you joining me. and this Wonder Why with L1, especially the We Be Like series, that, oh my goodness, it's so inspiring. It's teaching me so much. I hope that you grab some stuff out of it yourself. And yes, I will definitely see y'all next week. So make sure until then, when you speak, speak with your purpose, just like we talked about today with Frederick Douglass. It's your man, L Wonder. And guess what? It's time to wonder out.